I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised?
Who is worthy to be praised?
So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised?
Who is worthy to be praised?
So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth. And blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver, apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. Ghost and Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Good morning, church. It is good to have everyone with us this morning. As we get started this morning, I want to ask you just to make sure that, does everybody have communion? Go ahead and grab your communion. Okay. We're going to do things a little bit differently this morning, so I just want to make you aware of how that's going to work. I'm not going to explain too much of this because you'll see it within the time of the sermon. We are going to kind of interweave the communion time and the sermon time together. And so just essentially see the entire sermon as your communion thoughts that help bring us into our time together. And so as we do that, I'll let you know what to do at the appropriate times, after which I will close with a prayer. And then after that prayer, rather than play a song over the speakers, I'm going to read one more passage of Scripture. Just so you'll know, it's from Revelation. So if I get to the passage in Revelation, it's the only passage from Revelation I'm using this morning, you'll know at that point, if you would like to leave before we get into our time of singing, we want to honor you in that. And while I'm reading that passage from Revelation, that would be a good time for you to do that, after which Jacob will come up and lead us in a time of singing together. So, like I said, just want to make sure that everybody has their communion and is ready for that moment. All right, Exodus chapter 12 is where we're going to be. Exodus chapter 12. We have been looking at this this story of the Exodus for the past several weeks together. And we come now to Exodus chapter 12. And before we get started into that, let's go ahead and begin our time together with a word of prayer. Holy Father, you are an awesome and an amazing God. God, we worship you as creator and sustainer. We worship you as our Savior and our deliverer. God, we pray this morning that as we approach your throne, as we lift your name on high through the words that we speak, through our time of remembrance, and through the words that we sing, that your name will be glorified, Father. We thank you for the hope that we have through your Son, the hope that we celebrate this morning, the hope that we celebrate hopefully with every ounce of our very being, with every moment of our life, Father. Help us to be living sacrifices for you that are constantly in worship and praise and thanksgiving for all that you've done. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So I'm going to begin with a little bit of a longer reading. I don't have this on the thing behind me here, but we are in Exodus chapter 12. And so if you want to open up to Exodus chapter 12, we're going to, like I said, start with a longer reading, and then we'll get into it from there. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night. And I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. As a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared for you. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For on this day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwelling places, you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads, and they worshiped. And then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, Up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. And bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so if they let them have what they asked, thus they plundered the Egyptians. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. The time that the people of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching kept of the Lord by all people of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, This is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. It shall be eaten in your house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house, and you shall not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land. But no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their host. And the Lord said to Moses, Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. Then Moses said to the people, Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. Today, in the month of Abib, you are going out. And when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. I want you to think about what's going on here in this moment. The Israelite people are following the command and the lead of Moses and Aaron. And they have seen time after time after time Moses and Aaron go before the Pharaoh, demand that their people be released from their Egyptian bondage. They have seen God send plague after plague after plague upon the people of Egypt. And each and every time Pharaoh's heart has hardened. This is what they've come to expect. But little do they know that everything is about ready to change. And it all begins with this incredible message that Yahweh gives to Moses and to Aaron. We read once again in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. I want you to think about the importance of this comment. I want you to think about how great of a moment this is for Israel. Because God says that at this point, everything starts over. He even goes to such dramatic steps that he says, your calendar is being changed because of this. Right now, in this moment, this is the first day of the first month of the rest of your life. This is a time of new beginnings. For Israel, the slate has now been wiped clean. Everything is being made brand new. A sign for Moses and Aaron and 9 plagues to follow haven't changed anything. But something is different now. What is it that's so different? 430 years of slavery in Egypt with no end in sight. But what is it about this 10th plague? What's going on now? What is it that's going to change everything? And God tells Moses and Aaron, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your account for the lamb. What makes all the difference? What is it that is bringing about new beginnings? What is it that changes 430 years of history to bring about the first day of the first month of the rest of their lives? The difference maker is a lamb. A lamb without blemish or spot. The blood of a lamb will make all the difference. The blood of a lamb will make the difference between their old familiar slavery to the new beginnings. The blood of a lamb will make all the difference between the judgment that they deserve and the gift of mercy that they'll receive. The blood of the lamb will be what will cause them to remember and proclaim for the rest of their lives what God has done. And the blood of a lamb will be what will bring these people to hear this message and respond in worship. What makes all the difference for Israel? It's the shed blood of a spotless lamb. And this event, this blood of the lamb, would be remembered forever in the celebration of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. When we come to the New Testament, we're introduced to a man by the name of Jesus. This is the same Jesus that John the Baptist, who was to go before Jesus and to prepare the way for him. This is the same Jesus about whom John the Baptist would look at and proclaim in John chapter 1 and verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." This Jesus is the Lamb of God. This Jesus, this Lamb of God, would live a sinless life, a life without blemish, and a life without spot. And as he came to the end of that spotless life, we read of this event where he would highlight and he would expand and he would give even more meaning and significance to the Passover. And so in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is meeting with his disciples. It says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover in our houses.'" He says, tell them what happened. Proclaim the Passover. Proclaim the new beginnings. Proclaim the celebrations of mercy over judgment. He says, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the house of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And I want you to notice this. I apparently didn't get this in here. This is verse 28. That goes through verse 27. I want you to notice how the people respond to this. Well, let's read this again. Back up. He says, "You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he has passed over the house of the people of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses.'" He says, when they ask you about it, you tell them, "This is the Passover. And we celebrate this because God passed over us. When we deserve judgment because of the blood of the Lamb, we receive mercy because God passed over us. And when we celebrate this feast together, and we hear that message that God passes over in order to give mercy, there is only one way to respond." And we read in verse 28, that when we read into verse 27, when he tells them that, it says, "And the people bowed their heads and they worshiped." So we're going to close our service this morning. And as always, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. But we're going to place this here now, because what we want to do is remember the feast that we just proclaimed. And we want to respond by bowing our head and worshiping the spotless Lamb of God given for us, which makes this celebration possible. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer up a prayer. Afterwards, I'm going to read a passage to help lead us into our time of worship together. And during that time, if you want to move to the back, if you want to go ahead and leave before we get into our singing, we want to honor you in that. Or if you need to respond and want to meet me back there, I'll be back there to talk to you. But this is the opportunity. If you haven't been covered in the spotless in the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, now's the time. Now's the time to put away the 430 years and to start now with the first month, the first day of the rest of your life. Now's the time to celebrate the Passover. And now's the time to proclaim that this is because of what the Lord has done for me. Holy Father, you are good. And at times we just don't know what else to say. Because we know that even in this moment, we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be in your presence. We don't deserve to know that we are covered in the blood of your Son given for us. We don't deserve to know that you have passed over us because you see the blood. We deserve the judgment. But this morning, God, and for the rest of our lives, we will proclaim new beginnings. And we will proclaim the victory of mercy over judgment. And we will proclaim, through the body and the blood of the Lamb of God, that this is because of what the Lord did for me. Thank you, God, for that hope that comes only through your Son given for us. And it's through his name and the power of your Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.